glimpse through the window and saw the crater walls collapsing around the bloody lake. Fiery lava from the molten sea outside crashed in, burning and destroying as it came. Clouds of smoke thickened and curled, hiding the young Sith from view.
"You are going to destroy them," said Master Satil.
Axe didn't respond. It wasn't a question, but it demanded an answer, and she was careful to keep it to herself. The hexes were streaming downward to tear the flooded habitat to pieces. When they were done, they would break into the geothermal shafts and keep drilling until the raw magma flooded in from below. What the real lava sea didn't burn, the heat of the core would melt and turn to slag.
"What about Lima Zandret?" Master Satil pressed. "There's not much of that amniotic fluid left, but it could be saved."
"Do you think it should be?"
Axe asked, thinking of her clone's life in the tank, cut off from the Force, so insulated from the universe around her that she didn't even know what the Empire was. Cinzia could have stopped the hexes at any time, but she hadn't. Lima Zandret's daughter reborn, and herself mutated into a horrible echo of motherhood, were more responsible for the damage than the hexes themselves. It was all about control, she realized now. Zandret had tried to control the cloned Cinzia and had lost control of the hexes. Darth Kratos had tried to control Axe, but she had turned on him. Anger wasn't enough on its own. She could still hear her mother screaming.
"It's not up to me to decide whether you should save her or not," Master Satil said. "But you did promise Cinzia."
Axe had promised many things. To herself, to Darth Kratos, to the Dark Council, and ultimately to the Emperor. But that had been before. Before she'd understood that she had choices.
"You can expect no mercy from me, Master, the day our positions are reversed."
"I lied," she said.
The Grand Master nodded. Axe didn't know whether she understood or not. That she stopped talking was enough. Axe stood and watched the hexes at work while the others fled. The smell of burning blood was sweet in her nostrils. The ash that gently rained on her felt soft and warm.
"Like feathers."
Slowly the voice faded from her mind. She breathed deeply, feeling at peace. Only the constant bleating of the shuttle's pilot disturbed her tranquility. She stayed as long as she could. When the ground threatened to dissolve under her, and the sky lit up with shooting stars, orbital hexes falling to their doom, she turned to leave the home her mother had made forever. Part 6. Preparations for War. Chapter 46. Lorin had never met Supreme Commander Stantors before, and she barely felt that she had met him now, even after half an hour of debriefing in his office. There were so many aides hurrying about, bearing messages and sudden crises needing an instant decision that she rarely had his attention for more than a few seconds at a stretch. Even when she did, she found him very hard to read. Instead of watching his dour Duros face, she concentrated on his long fingers. They tapped, curled, folded, and rested in ways that, she hoped, gave her an insight into what he was thinking.
"You say you were followed there?"